To Scenic Roots, every Friday afternoon we feature a set of songs played by area musicians in the state-of-the-art studio on the second floor of the library in downtown Chattanooga. This afternoon, live in the library, this is Top Knot, a Chattanooga band featuring Daniel Nelson playing guitar, Maria Jordania and Rob singing harmony, with Tim Cofield, who makes music as Top Knot.
Hey, this is Top Knot. This song is called Moonlight. It was originally written by Summer Dregs and Tim Cofield. And here you go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Why not be yourself? Why not? Why not be yourself? Why not ring the bell?
All the ticky-tacky little houses, all the wee cookie-cutter louses.
Tell me why not be yourself?
Quads on the street night, lace up in the headlight.
Lace up in the headlight.
Ever since I've been rolling, you know I'm about to feel right. Sweat, but it's alright. I about to feel light.
I about to feel light.
Tall glass of moonlight. Listen up, take a bite.
Why not be yourself? Why not
ring the bell?
Why not be yourself? Why not ring the bell?
All the ticky-tacky little houses, all the wee cookie-cutter louses.
Tell me why not be yourself?
Be yourself. Oh, way that I feel,
way that I feel, way that I feel.
My name's Top Knot. This song is called Buzzin'. I wrote it with Josh Green. And recently played this song actually for some producers on Clubhouse who were like nominated for some Grammys or some something fancy. And they had something very interesting to say. They actually made up a genre for this song, but I don't think I can repeat it on this program, public radio.
It's baby making music.
Yeah. Yep, this is buzzing.
Buzzing like a flower, blooming like a bee. Honey, I can't think straight, taking me your honey. Buzzing like a flower, blooming like a bee. Honey, I can't think straight, taking me your honey. Taking me your honey. Give me your honey. Honey, I can't think straight. Give me your honey. You
Made all of us reevaluate everything in our lives, and what were we doing before, and why were we doing that? And, which, of course, you know, I mean, if you go on vacation, you come back and you sort of feel that way, don't you? Like, I don't want to go back and do the same thing I was doing before. I want to do it differently. And you know, a 16-month hiatus where we take a you know a big chunk out of our lives. I think all of us are going to be, you know, rethinking everything. Which, for somebody like you, I'm not sure if that's true, because it seems the impression I have of you is that you're always rethinking things. And maybe that's in part because you grew up with missionary parents, and my impression is that you kind of invented yourself.
Yeah, like I tell people, you know, The Jungle Book and Young Mowgli. Well, I was raised by a singing song bear as well in Ontario, Canada, by a lake. The animals were my friends. Yeah, it definitely shaped my worldview. Influenced everything, yeah.
But, you know, having said that, so much of the work you do is tech-related. The filmmaking, the photography.
Well, the tech is what I've had to learn to survive, but it's really imagination-driven. Everything is imagination-driven. What can I picture? What can I picture hearing or seeing? And I have to learn the tech in order to do it. So that's just been a necessity, right? Along the way.
Yeah. That is interesting, because it strikes me, listening to your music, that there's a visual element that we're not getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a filmmaker. That's by trade, you know? That's what I do for a living. I shoot and edit. So everything is like a soundtrack. In fact, one of these songs, Frosted Cake, was written with my wife sitting down. I told her the story about like this guy who's willing to do anything to get this person to like them, to love them. And the song was only two lines at the point, and she started saying, well, what if we have a scene where like he's by a pool and he's like feeding her with a long pole or feeding him, and came up with all these scenes. Essentially, we were writing a music video before the song was written, and the whole song was written to serve this idea of this music video. So yeah, absolutely. It all serves visuals, and even if there isn't a film written for the song, it's that is the master compass.
Do you think in pictures?
Yes, absolutely.
Even when you're writing songs?
Mm-hmm. Yes, pictures and colors, feelings, really. It's all about the feeling. What do you want them to feel? What do I feel? Yeah, definitely.
Hey, my name is Top Knot. This song is called Something Between Us. This is actually the oldest song on the EP, originally written by Ivan Garcia and I 5 years ago. And it's finally getting finished now by these amazing musicians in the studio with me. Daniel Nelson on guitar, Lavender on vocals, Aaron Carney on vocals, and me. So here we go. This, hope you enjoy it. It's called The Good Good.
In rural Ontario.
Rural, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's rural for me. And when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, to all the way to 18, is you drive for 45 minutes on a highway and all you see is trees and maybe a moose until you get to the nearest gas station or Walmart or Subway. So that's what it was.
How far were you from the city?
The city is 4 hours away, but the town was 45 minutes away. So that's the nearest.
But it's a wide spot in the road by the way you're describing it.
Yes. Yeah, and
it was a pretty isolated existence.
Isolating through the winter, but all of a sudden, when May and June come, here comes the busloads of people to the camp, because it's a summer camp my grandfather started in the 60s. And every week, there's a new busload of 80-some hundred people. And so I got really used to meeting new people and having to entertain and having to navigate conversations with new people. And so that became very normal, which I really think influenced everything else in my life. And my parents were very musical, so we were kind of the dancing monkeys in a good way to get up on stage, sing and recite something and help us raise this money. And that's what we did our entire childhood. So watched my dad play Moonlight Sonata on the guitar. I was like, I want to learn that at 11 or 12 years old. So yeah, musical family in the middle of the woods in Canada in a very, very conservative culture back then, which also shaped who Top Knot is now.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I'm the oldest of four.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because I'm the oldest too. I only have one brother, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So you're put in a position of being an extrovert. Are you naturally an extrovert?
No, I will lose my... Yeah, I'll lose it if I don't have time alone. Specifically in nature, but I can't. I start getting very testy. No one wants to be around me if I haven't had alone time. It's a strange mix, though. I don't believe people are strictly extrovert or introvert.
Well, everything's on a spectrum.
Yeah, right? I'm extremely energized by people. Like last night, having a couple beers at Wanderlinger, I'm like, beer's a downer for me. But the teeter totter of that is the social stimulus. And so that was the upper. It's just like, oh, I haven't been around people I have a newborn baby. I haven't been able to go out for a week. So I was like, zing, it was extremely fun seeing a bunch of people I haven't seen for a while. So yeah, introvert, extrovert, you just got to know what you need and make sure you get it for the people, for those around you and yourself.
It's a great combination because I think most writers tend to be introverted because it's such an introspective mode of expression, at least initially. Somebody in your bio, I think it was, said one of the people who has been influenced on you is David Bowie.
Absolutely.
And David Bowie, I think, is very much an introvert. And he has to create a persona in order to be able to do what he does. And that's why he kept switching personas, I think. Mm. And each persona reflected the music he wanted to make at that point. Mm. There's a commonality there for you, I think.
Yeah, Bowie's very influential. Some musically, but mostly just in like who he was as an individual, the way he wanted to express himself. I relate to that because one of the boxes that I have been checking as I've been like figuring out who is Top Knot is I don't want to do it the way a lot of people default to do it. And there's nothing wrong with defaulting to what you usually see people wearing or the way a set list is built.
What is your perception of the way a set list normally is and the way people dress normally for a performance?
Oh, all right. I mean... And I think, what you see in Chattanooga, Southeast USA, Chattanooga, for the most part, unless it's a theme party or some kind of festive event, you see people wear what they're comfortable wearing going out.
Everyday clothes, pretty
everyday
much.
Clothes. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like it's a missed opportunity. I mean, sure, we're musicians, but above all, we're entertainers. Why not have fun with it? And every person's idea of fun is different, but Top Knot is all about stretching and pushing gender boundaries, for one, because of a lot of background. things I've experienced and things I've observed. And I think the feminine is not celebrated in men enough. I think there's a lot of toxic masculinity, especially not so much on the West Coast or in bigger, but especially, you know, in this town, just like a southern town, you don't see it. And so that's one thing. All right. Love it. That's what I, that's, you know, that's where I would lean towards anyway. And it's fun, you know, as a kid going into the shop, this, me personally, I always wondered when I had to go clothing shopping with my mom, why are the girls' clothes so much more fun and the guys' clothes boring? That, it was just a thought I had as a kid. So yeah. If you're a musician on stage, you get to express yourself not only musically, but the way you look. And for everyone, that's different. And then a set list. I mean, again, there's no right or wrong way, but when I was 19, I went to a seminar hosted by some guy named Tom Jackson, and it was a whole four-day intensive on how to build the perfect set list. And there's a formula to it, apparently. And I was like, God, I don't want to just learn to do this just because this is the formula. And like, but the thing is, it's made so much sense about what your first song should be, what your third song should be, the moment of, you need to have around after the fourth song, the way you end the first, the way you, so you should end the first song to let an audience know you're done. And of course, this doesn't apply if you're a punk rock band, you're like, you know, but to bring an audience along with you on a journey, there's like this whole formula for it. And that's really interesting to me. And that happened like, you know, whatever, almost 20 years ago now. And I find myself remembering it, trying to apply some of those things. So, yeah, have you ever heard anyone talk about set list formulas?
No. But the way you're describing it, it almost sounds like the narrative arc of a film.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? First act, second act, third act.
It's interesting listening to you talk because it sounds exactly like the kind of things people said when Bowie was first in ascendance and they were complaining about the musical generation that preceded them who stopped wearing suits and started wearing everyday clothes on stage, and there was very little attention paid to stagecraft. It was more like you're just going to walk on, sit down at the instrument and start playing. You know, mm-hmm. And they say, well, wait a minute, this is show business, you know, and Bowie comes along and says, no, you can, there's so much more you can do with this. Mm-hmm. Dress up in costume, make your hair different colors and all the rest of it, and have fun with it, just like you're saying.
I'm Top Knot, and this song is called Frosted Cake. It was written by my wife and I. I actually told her about the idea, and she had almost all the good ideas for the rest of the song. The entire song was written for a music video. So the song served the video. So every lyric in the song was written just to film a certain scene in a video which we have not recorded or filmed. So the future. Anyway, hope you enjoy Frosted Cake.
Let me be your catnap, bubble bath, night.
giant snake. Let me be a winking jungle gym night swim. Let me be, let me be, let me be, let me be your something. Let me be your anything. Let me be your something. Let me be your anything.
Top Knot, and this song is called Ain't Nothing But Rain. The song is kind of an odd duckling in the batch of Top Knot songs. It's more of a Tim Cofield song than a Top Knot song. But I do love this song, and I wanted to play it for you. The hook was originally written by, well, the hook was originally written for Lavender to sing several years ago, and never finished it. Then this spring, I took a trip to Nashville to play an open mic night at Pitch Meeting. I had less than an ideal performance, but it gave me the idea for the rest of the song. It's kind of my ode to Nashville. It's called Ain't Nothing But Rain. Drove up to Nashville looking for a melody, trying to find me somebody to help me write this song. Tell me, am I too late when the cards have all been played? Feels like I'm looking for a drink of water, standing outside, soaked to the bone. Ain't nothing but rain. Ain't nothing but rain on the tin roof, storming overhead with sunshine on my mind. Ain't nothing but rain. Ain't nothing but rain on a tin roof. I'll keep writing these lines, and I'll wait for my time. Water turns to wine. I put it back in the case, walk out of this place, drive back to a small town. Some dreams I've not found, and this place can break your heart again and again, over and over again, over and over again. Ain't nothing but rain. Ain't nothing but rain on a tin roof, storming over.
sunshine on my mind ain't nothing but rain, ain't nothing but rain on a tin roof. I'll keep writing these lines and I'll wait for my time. Water turns to wine.
On Scenic Roots live in the library, we're listening to a session recorded by the Chattanooga band Top Knot.
And
it's kind of gone back and forth between those two poles, it seems to me, ever since.
Right. And women are allowed, I feel like ladies are allowed to do it with more license. Permission. Yeah. They have more license to do it, especially in the South. Mm. And, you know, unless it's a costume party. If you're a man and you dress up, you get a couple sideways looks. And there is something to be said for being genuine and honest to who you are and all that. So whatever you feel comfortable in, but man.
Well, it seems to me that whatever you wear on stage should be a reflection of the music you're making.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you want to make music that's dynamic, show-centered,
yeah,
as opposed to like a jam band, mm-hmm. you know, then there's nothing at all wrong with wearing costumes. The Fridge, for instance, when they played at the Nightfall show they did,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they all had costumes on, you know, and they were doing their best to make it as visual as it was oral.
Yeah, they nailed it. Yeah. The Fridge nailed it. The last time I saw them, they all had white suits on. And I love that because it's, you know, novice bands that are just starting out, they might say, we're not going to be like that. We're all going to be our individual self. And sure, they want to express themselves. That's fine. But uniformity or at least a theme like that is so strong visually. You know, when I'm directing a commercial during my day job, if I have anything to do with the art direction, I'm like, let's pick two colors, three at the most. It's like fonts on a poster. Any more than two or three fonts, it's going to look like a third grader did it. Pick a couple colors or like the Fridge, one.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Amazing. Nailed it.
Make an impression.
Yeah. Because people won't, you know.
So to go back to your background for a second, it's kind of interesting that you came of age in a place that's fairly isolated, and yet, at least for a couple of months of the year, you're inundated with people and you become a performer. But the rest of the year, not much going on. When you get to be 18, I'm out of here, which is, you know, not unusual for an 18-year-old. But why did you choose to come to Chattanooga?
I'll tell you that. But first of all, I want to say that when I was 17, and during that whole, like, winter time of nobody at this camp in the middle of the woods, you're like, all right, what do I do? We only have CBC, Canadian Broadcast Corporation, and the French Channel, which has a lot of, like, cartoons and weird nude shows that the French like, but you can't. I couldn't understand anything. Couldn't speak French. So TV is really not attractive as a kid. So besides building forts and, you know, and going hunting as a kid, music was this thing I found. Like, oh, I can pass hours of time. This is a blast. Mm-hmm. When I was 17, my parents got me a digital 8-track recorder with a CD burner built into it, and that was the beginning of, like, oh, I can create stuff. I can.
What a
play
gift.
A bass part and a guitar part, even though it was terrible. You know, I was not a very good musician at 17 or 18 years old. But creating, I can make my own album in my bedroom in 1999, life changer. And my parents probably spent $800 on this. I mean, it was an investment, but they saw that I was interested. So big thank you to Mom and Dad for that. Because that totally changed the way I started thinking. I started thinking like a producer and not just like a melody writer. But right. Like, how do these things fit together?
Right.
It was a big influence.
So the stage is set,
yeah.
And now you're looking for a place to perform, and you don't want to stay in Ontario. Why did you choose to come to Chattanooga, though?
I wish it was mysterious and a crazy story, but it's really as simple as my great-grandparents lived in the South on my mom and my dad's side, and there's a farm out in McDonald close to Ootawah. 5 generations of grandparents have been on. I mean, this place has relics of Indian weapons and cooking utensils in the field, and this, my family's been out there for 5 generations. So it was back to the roost for my mom and dad around.
Well, so your mom and dad came with you?
Well, they came first. 2001. So 20 years ago, this summer, they moved to Tennessee, and I didn't. I went and had a 5-year tangent in Minnesota, but they came here, and then 5 years later, I followed them down and said, I need to be close to the family, and I got to Chattanooga, didn't know anybody, and just, I didn't know a soul in Chattanooga except my family, but I started playing Tremont Tavern every Tuesday night. And ended up meeting a lot of people.
All right, my name's Top Knot. This song is called Pay the Rent. And have you ever had to do something really embarrassing to pay the rent? Like, we all have, right? So that question was posed to Facebook friends a couple of years ago, and over like 30 or 40 people replied with, and their stories in the comments, like one-liners, were taken, and this song was made of those stories. It's called Pay the Rent. Hope you love it.
On Airbnb, we slept in our van for 3 weeks just to make a little money. Remember that time you sold your Stratocaster, the one given by your grandfather? I never saw you any sadder.
To pay the rent.
favorite horse.
What did you do?
You sold your favorite gun.
What'd you do?
You worked at the mall as the Easter Bunny.
What did you do?
Collected bottles in the alley.
What'd you do?
Robbed your savings account.
What did you do?
Worked at massage parlor with happy endings.
What'd you do?
Sold your entire Atari collection. It was heartbreaking.
Dude, I want to tell you the story about what I did over the pandemic.
Please do.
Which is much to the credit of my wife and Jules Downham. So I'm going to try to fit this into the close, tightest nutshell possible. But my wife, Maddie Waters, and her partner, Jules Downham, started the Pop-Up Project, which is like this nonprofit organization dance company, 3 years ago, okay? They spent 3 years courting big foundations to raise money for this big event, kind of like Meow Wolf meets Punch Drunk, where you buy a ticket, walk into this building in Chattanooga, and you're surrounded by crazy installations and actors and someone coming up to you saying, have you seen the cat? And you have to figure it out what you're in and figure out the story. So this they dreamt up this amazing plan, courted these foundations for years. Finally, after years, they got the money, like over $200,000+ to do this. And they're like, here we go, we're gonna do it. We're gonna put this in Chattanooga. After they finally raised the money, the month after they got the money, pandemic hits, COVID hits. And the mayor of Chattanooga says, there's not gonna be more than 14 people in a building for, or whatever, 30 people in a building for over 14 months. And they're like, we can't do it. Like, they're crushed. They're sitting on it for a month, and finally, after a month of trying to figure out what they're going to do, they realize they want to take this idea and make a film, adapt it to a film. They get all the funders to sign off on it, and then they start making this film during this pandemic. They've hired dancers, musicians, installation artists. They've paid over like $100,000+ to local artists over this pandemic, employing local artists to make this film. We've shot for 5 months, and now I'm editing it. And it's called The Light We Share. It's going to be out sometime. But the people that found out they actually did this in the middle, you know, because seasons, full seasons of your favorite shows had to cancel this complete season, you know, filming this past year, and somehow they figured out how to do this in the middle of, like, you know, people, actors wearing masks, dancers wearing masks. They figured it out, and it's almost done. So the reason I tell you this story is because not only is it really cool that this Pop-Up Project has employed all these artists in our town, but Top Knot's first show with a full band is at the Pop-Up Project space on Brainerd, June 26th. The first time Top Knot's going to be with a full band, and pop-up dancers are going to be there, like, performing throughout the show. Do you know a spot venue where Spot used to be on Brainerd through the tunnels? Right next to the old Comedy Catch. That is where Studio 34 is, the Pop-Up Project's new studio. It's called Studio 34. And that's where the show is going to be on June 26th.
The Pop-Up Project still intend to stage the event they spent so much time planning and raising money for. But in the meantime, they'll be part of the debut performance by Top Knot, along with DeVries and Emma Dime, in Studio 34 on Brainerd Road. There'll be dancers, installation art, and a dance party in Studio 34 on Brainerd Road, just past the tunnels, on Saturday, June 26th, starting at 8 o'clock. From the forthcoming EP from Top Knot, this is a song called Buzzin'.
Buzzin' like a flower, blooming like a bee. Honey, I can't think straight till you give me your honey. Buzzing like a flower, blooming like a bee. Honey, I can't think straight till you give me your honey. Till you give me your honey. Till you give me your honey. Honey, I can't think straight.
Samurai, let me be a snowflake, brownie baked espresso shake.
from their forthcoming EP, Top Knot, Buzz In, and the one we just listened to, Frosted Cake. These sessions recorded live in the library in the state-of-the-art recording studio on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga are scheduled for Wednesday afternoons. The recordings of area-based musicians and bands are engineered and mixed by Sam Mensah. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richard Winham, for WUTC, and Sam Mensah for the library, which is now fully open again. We will have another session recorded live in the library here on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. This is listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga. To close the program, this is Shiggy, another Chattanooga-based band from an EP called 42. This is a song called The Chorus.
Here is the expression, here is the expression of my experience. Here is the expression of the expression.